Tales over tales, listeners, guess what? We are back. It's your favorite girls. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Alicia.
Hi, my friend.
Hello. I
missed you.
I know, I missed you too. It sucks because we were supposed to be doing this in person. In person
together. Yes. I know. Yes. I was also thinking as we were preparing to do this, I was like, why does it feel like it's been so long since the last recording?
I know, it hasn't been that long.
It hasn't, and yet at the same time, it feels like a lifetime ago.
I know, seriously. And it's so crazy how in that like short, yet not short period of time, so much has happened.
Oh my goodness. Well, fill me in. Tell me what's happened. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing good. So, you know, the reason why we're not recording together, my household was hit with COVID. Thankfully, it was just Jay, though. None of us, you know, other folks in this house got sick, thank goodness, but he got the brunt of it. He's still going through the after COVID stuff, unfortunately. So he's dealing with all that, but yeah, so that's been going on. And what else has been, I got accepted to college. So there's that.
I know. I'm so proud of you. Yes, tell the listeners. So where are you going? What are you studying? When do you start?
Yeah, so of course, me being me, I have to overwhelm myself with life. So I figured I might as well throw college in the mix of, you know, planning this little small wedding. That's been a whole thing too. But I am going to Grand Canyon University. I'm getting my bachelor's in finance and economics. And I start in August, at the end of August. So
crazy.
I know.
Super exciting for you. So that was that kind of your high low. Is there any other update you'd
That's pretty much. Oh, I started therapy.
We have been talking about that. Yes.
I have.
When is your next session?
It's in a couple weeks. And I absolutely am enjoying, even though I had one session, my therapist is like this older man. He's like a girl dad. He gets the hormones and the women going through different life phases. And, you know, so it was pretty good though. Good first session. I'm pretty excited to continue going because I think that's been my problem is I like go to therapy. I feel like people can relate to this. Like they go to therapy knowing that they need some clarity in their life. But then when things kind of start getting in the uncomfortable area, they're kind of like, no, maybe I don't want to do this. And kind of like back away from therapy because it's scary. But have no fear. I'm good so far.
Amen. I'm glad you'll have to continue to keep us updated on your journey.
I definitely will. So what's going on with you? What are your highs? What are your lows? What's been going on with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, this whole week, if I can be personally honest, has definitely felt like quite the low. Mm-hmm. Just different personal stressors, whether that's adulting and having to take care of homeowner things or scheduling conflicts, putting fires out at work. I mean, it felt a little bit like a Murphy's Law kind of week. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong, sort of a thing. Slowly, as the week got better, like as the week went on, it got better. So that was nice.
Yeah.
It was an overwhelming week for sure. So thankful listeners, we're recording this on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So glad the weekend is coming. I'm going to go see Barbie tomorrow.
Tell me how that is because I have heard mixed things about it. So you need to tell me how it goes and if it's worth getting all like pink outfit up and going to go see it.
The overall response or reactions I've heard and I've seen have been mostly positive.
Yeah.
And any of like the other thoughts or opinions, it's all been very constructive feedback kind of thing. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm excited.
I definitely heard it's not a movie to take children to, though.
Oh, I did hear that too. Yeah, I'm going with a colleague of mine who also is a mother of young children. She mentioned that. Because I asked her, her daughter is kind of around that age that she sort of could see it potentially. And she said, no, I think I'd like to see it first and then decide, you know, after it comes out, whether or not we'll watch it. But anyway, oh my goodness, what a day. What a day. We are finally here. Oh my goodness. And before we get into what we're drinking, because we are super excited, listeners, about what we're drinking, I just tell you, we got the sweetest review from one of our friends. Shout out to Caitlin Day.
Yes. I mean, she's
absolutely wonderful. Gave us just an excellent review on Apple Podcasts. Go on and read the review. This is why we ask, you know, rate, review, subscribe. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yes.
Along with us. We, Abigail, Alicia, and I, this podcast is absolutely turning into that labor of love. And there's so many different exciting things going on that we will continue to keep you posted. So Caitlin, thank you so, so much. We love you. And we are super grateful.
I was very, very happy when Jordan had told us that we got a review. And I did cry a little bit because, like you said, this is turning into like, you know, this was like our baby and we didn't really think that it was going to go as far as it has. And it's been great. So just
we have a long way to go still too. Yeah, but yes, it's coming around. So should we tell listeners what we're drinking?
Yes, you go right on ahead, ma'am.
Okay. Well, listeners, as you know, we are covering Lauren Weisberger's When Life Gives You Lululemons, which is the final book in the trilogy, the Prada trilogy, Devil Wears Prada trilogy. But because it is lemons in the title, I mean, we had to have a lemon drop martini. So Alicia and I are drinking lemon drop martinis. I will definitely share the recipe on the Instagram. It is just vodka, triple sec, some lemon juice, and simple syrup.
Yeah.
It's a pretty easy recipe. Super, super excited to be drinking with one of my dear closest friends and discussing a pretty spicy book.
I know.
So excited. Oh my gosh. Okay, sip. Here we go.
Yes.
Well, now that we've established all of that.
Yes, ma'am.
What were the initial thoughts on the book? Please share.
I loved it. I thought this book was brilliantly put together. I finished it before you because I was like so determined to finish it. I wanted to know like what was going to happen to certain people of this book that deserve what they got, which we'll get into. But I don't think I've ever been as determined to finish a book since actually the last one. It was really good. 10 out of 10. I loved it.
Awesome. Yeah. Like 50 pages in, I felt like I was absolutely hooked.
Yeah.
It was, and if you've seen The Devil Wears Prada, and you picture Emily Blunt as Emily, it just keeps you going.
It really does. I was like thinking of like her accent in my head, and I was thinking of like when she was just describing her life, I just kept picturing her in the lifestyle that she was going, you know, they just described it so well. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, this is so perfect.
Oh, well, before we dive any deeper, should I go ahead and give our synopsis?
Yes, ma'am. Go right on ahead.
Okay. If this book could teach us anything, it would be that the grass is not always greener on the other side. Told from three different perspectives, When Life Gives You Lululemons follows the tale of three women, Emily, Miriam, and Catalina, as they navigate the suburban gossip merry-go-round known as Greenwich, Connecticut. Emily. Fresh off her time at Runway, Emily is now happily married and living on the West Coast. Or is she? Her husband, Miles, constantly travels for work, and the struggle to establish and maintain her own image consulting business has been an uphill climb. To reignite her spark, Emily decides to visit her childhood friend Miriam in Greenwich, Connecticut, which leads her down a very unexpected path towards friendship and even motherhood. Yeah. Miriam, corporate lawyer turned stay-at-home mom of three, Miriam loves her husband, Paul, and is dedicated to their three young children, but struggles to feel content or fulfilled since the family relocated to the suburbs. As she tries to navigate this new normal, Miriam gets caught in the middle of suburban housewife paranoia and maintaining her sanity. Enter Miriam's childhood friend, Emily, and fellow housewife, Catalina Hartwell, to give Miriam the confidence boost she needs. Catalina. It all starts when Catalina's husband, Graham, uses his political power to have her falsely arrested for a DUI. After being tossed out for a younger and hotter version of herself, Catalina hires Emily Charlton, former senior assistant to Miranda Priestly of Runway Magazine, to handle the ugly PR situation. Graham Hartwell, New York State Senator, seeks to sabotage Carolina's reputation, but his malicious acts are no match for the fury of this angry former Victoria's Secret supermodel turned housewife. With the help of Miriam and Emily, and some other unexpected characters along the way, Catalina recovers from her heartbreak in the best way possible. Her personal journey through infertility and battle for custody of her stepson Harry make Catalina a very relatable, strong, and fiercely independent woman.
Yes. Okay.
So, have you ever seen First Wives Club?
No.
With Bette Midler, Diane Keaton, Goldie Hawn?
Just kidding. Yes, I have.
This book gave me all the vibes for that.
It gave me all the vibes of, like, yeah, it was like definitely like The Devil Wears Prada mixed in with that, mixed in with some like little or not, what is it? The Real Housewives?
Oh, like 100%.
Yes, all of that mixed in. Right.
I loved the banter between all of them.
I did too. Yes.
I thought that each character was like written in a way that was just so just witty and enticing. Mm-hmm. And like you said, yeah, I was right back into like the housewife drama, the Devil Wears Prada, all of that.
Oh, now,
forgive me because Taylor Swift is still on her Eras tour right now, as most all of us know. And I may or may not be the Swiftie that's bumping all the T-Swift collection these days. So listening back to some of the older music too, like while I was reading this, was 100% giving me some of those vibes as well. I was like, oh man.
I never thought about. I didn't even think about that part of it, though. Now I feel like I have to go back, reread this book with Taylor Swift bumping in the back.
Listen to some of her earlier stuff.
I'm going to have to.
Teardrops on My Guitar.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Moments.
So do we talk about the smarmy weasel that is Graham Hartwell?
Oh, we have to.
Just major.
Oh my gosh.
Now, also, listener, because here's the thing. If you look at the back of the book, literally says, he set her up, they'll bring him down. Full disclosure, I like barely read the back of the book before I dove into this. I mean, did you know from the beginning? I mean, obviously from reading the back of that, like it all was so clearly a setup.
Yeah, no, I didn't even read the back of the book. I started to, and I was like, I don't know why, but I have a feeling that it's going to give something away. So I stopped. And when I first read it and when everything was happening, I was like, because at first when they were talking about, you know, like the bottles in the back of the car, and she was talking about like, okay, maybe the kids were like getting into something, like she was just so like trying to defend herself. And I was like, this has to clearly be some kind of setup. Like, and at first I didn't understand that it was her husband setting her up. I thought it was just someone trying to like get the attention, so that way he, because wasn't he like, he was going for president, right? Or he was going to
be announcing a presidential campaign,
right? So I thought like at first it was going to be something along the lines where someone was trying to sabotage that at first, and then just kind of as the story got on, I was like, this swarming weasel, I had other words, but for the sake of this podcast.
I mean, you can, what you say, whatever words are on your heart.
No, but you know what? It's fine because we are classy ladies drinking martinis today. It just made me very angry, and things that he had done, which we will cover later on, and you know, as we go on, it really broke my heart for her.
Well, and we'll dive into this a little bit more, but yeah. Obviously what happens with Catalina too, as she is sort of reflecting on her marriage, mm-hmm. reflecting on her relationship with Graham, She does that thing that I think most people do in the event of a breakup, right? Of the disintegration of a relationship. She starts making all of these connections, and she starts thinking about, here's all of these moments that I just sort of brushed off, or I just sort of put away.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't even thinking about it because it didn't matter. And yet it absolutely did. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Even, what was I going to say? I liked how at one point, you know, she talks about, he picked out everything for the house in Greenwich. Like she wasn't totally allowed to like put her own touch on it or decorate the way that she wanted to.
Yep.
That's a very important thing, you mm-hmm. know, especially when they had been together. I mean, listener, for those that may or may not have read the book with us, like they had been together for what by this, like 10 years.
Yeah.
11 mm-hmm. years by this point too. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know. It seemed, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was.
Okay. But talking about housewife situations here, housewife drama, suburban drama, did you cringe at the sex toy party too?
I wanted to skip over this part so bad because I was reading this. I was like, what?
I've been drinking my martini then.
I'm like, what in the dildo is going on? Because I was like, oh my God. And, you know, let's just say this. She was very descriptive of her words on the products that were being sold at this party. And I was like, you know that these products exist somewhere, but I couldn't imagine being at a party with people that you're not really comfortable with in the first place.
You don't really know.
No idea who these people are, really, except like, oh yeah, that's the mom from the carpool lane or whatever. But yeah, here she is at a sex toy party buying a dildo. Like, that's just odd. Like,
have you been to one?
No.
Would you go to one?
No.
Really?
I just don't, I don't feel like it would be comfortable. Like, I would understand it's one thing if you like go to Fascinations, for example, because you know what you're going, you know what you're getting yourself into. You're going by yourself. It's a little,
well, And that was the thing, was that this was disguised as like something else.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm with you there. That was the part that like got me. I'm like, you're going to have a sex toy party. Like, why don't you just call it what it is?
Yep, exactly.
So I don't even. And then what I really wanted to skip over, though, was that super stupid Scamanda party. Okay. Listeners, listen. So, did I say it right?
Scamanda? Yeah. I don't know. I was over that, too. I was like...
Okay, so... It just was so... Like, I don't... Alicia, like, how do you?
I don't even know. I'm just, I don't know.
Okay. All I can say is I would not, I'm okay with not being one of those couples that like puts our names together like that. I get it. I know. And we actually have a couple of friends of ours that have like done that for us before, my husband and I, but I'm not about it.
Okay. So we're going to sidetrack here. What would your blend name? What is your blend name?
So my husband is Mark. He likes to go by Marco. Our last name is O'Loughlin, so he goes by Marco. My name is Jordan, right? I have gone by Joe, Jojo, whatever. We have friends that actually do, like, there's another, like, couple that we're close with that call us Mojo. Yeah, legit, 100%. But the funny, like, the stupid thing about this whole Zach Manda thing or whatever is... Emily is literally asking the whole time, like she has no idea if this is a male, a female, a he, a she, a they.
Yeah.
Like, and then when she learns, no, it's like two people that have just, you know,
blended their names and made this
weird working party. Like, I don't, it just was super cringe. There were a couple of these parts like this that I probably could have done without, but
yeah, same.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And to think about like the money that is spent at these sex toy parties, or to think about like the money that is, you know, in these like richer, you know, more, I don't know, white flight, whatever they call it, you know, urban areas. It's crazy. Oh goodness. So getting back on track.
Yes. We're gonna talk about it because I know.
So listener, the major turning point though was essentially finding out. So Harry Graham's son came from a previous marriage.
Yes.
Graham's wife died.
She died, yeah.
Correct. Right. So Graham had been with Catalina since his son Harry was like a year and a half, two.
Yeah.
And Catalina had been his mom this whole time, right? Mm-hmm. And when Graham and Catalina got together, they wanted to have more kids, or at least like when they would talk about it, right?
Yeah. It was okay. Yeah. Go. Yeah. Go ahead.
Dying over here. She's like, just spit it out. Anyway, after Catalina hires Emily to kind of investigate, look into the situation, whatever, handling all of the PR, whatnot, Miriam, being the lawyer that she is too, is able to, you know, sift through all of this research and come to find, without even telling Catalina anything, about 5-ish years into their marriage or so, Smarmy Weasel had gotten a vasectomy.
I was so angry.
What the heck?
I was so angry because this poor lady had been going through.
Talk about it.
She had been going through fertility treatments. She thought that it was her. He was there holding her hand while she was poking herself with needles to try and have a baby, which she made it seem like he was all gung-ho for. But beknownst, he didn't even, he had a vasectomy. He was like, nope. But I'm just going to watch you suffer while you're trying to have a baby that he didn't clearly want for whatever reason. I don't know, but that's not the point. I was so angry. I threw my book. I was at work, okay? And I threw my book down because I was angry.
Did anybody notice? Did somebody say something to you?
Yeah, they asked if I was okay. And I was like, no, I got to a point in my book and I'm very angry about it. And they were like, it's fine. Because it's not the first time it's happened.
I feel like you actually might have talked about throwing books on
this podcast. I have. I have a habit of throwing the book because it just makes me like, because you have to think about this too. This happens in real life. This is some real life stuff too, that this, you know, but you just like feel for her because she just wants to be a mom. That she just wants, and even though she technically already is a mom with Harry, that she just wants her own little, you know, experience, her own little pregnancy, her own little bundle of baby. And this jerk off was like, no, I'm going to get a vasectomy, not tell you, and watch you struggle for 5 years. It's fine.
And what we really see, though, too, is that that's a major turning point for her relationship with Miriam and Emily, because this whole time, Emily has been trying to get Catalina to be angry.
Yeah, get some sparking. This guy's like ruining your life. Like, don't defend him. You need to, you know, light a fire under your butt here and, you know, get mad. He's done a lot to you, so what are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, he was going through this. No, forget all that. Like, he didn't care about you, obviously, so hello. I think, and then that was kind of the point that when she found out that she was like, we're going to burn this mofo to the ground. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Oh, man. Yeah. And then what were your thoughts when Miranda kind of came into the picture there?
I knew she was going to do something because it's Miranda. Like when Emily, because Emily didn't have a choice. We read that, you know, she was losing clients. There was this big name, you know, person that was out there that were taking her clients. And it just got to the point where she needed someone to do something because she didn't have that power anymore. And I thought it was brilliant.
I liked the way that Miranda was written into the book. Mm-hmm. It was very intriguing and very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Mostly because it did come off as this very supporting role.
Yeah.
And I understood that. Like, this book wasn't meant, obviously, to be about Andy from The Devil Wears Prada. It wasn't meant to be about Miranda. But there was a part of me that had almost been kind of anticipating or expecting more almost out of it. And I'm not sure if that was correct or not. We'll have to see.
I don't know. I mean, I agree though, because I was expecting her to be more in the book too. Like, I thought she was going to be more involved than just like the couple of parts that she had here and there. I would have loved to have known like the things that she did. Like, I want to know more about that. You know, how did she?
Okay. Right. Yeah. So, listener, toward the end, obviously, Emily's, you know, self-made entrepreneurial consulting business has sort of been crumbling a little bit.
Yeah.
And we do see Miranda in a pretty vulnerable position, like begging for Emily to come back to Runway. And in order to get her back a little bit, Emily kind of reaches this point of no return. And she goes to see Miranda. And Miranda's like, oh, okay, this is the situation with Catalina and this New York State Senator husband, Graham. All right, I'm going to take care of it.
Yep.
And that's kind of all we hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she just gets written off. Ooh. And then you're just kind of like,
that's all.
Maybe what happened? Like, what did you do? How did you get this squirmy weasel? No.
That's all.
That's all. And then she just shushes her away.
I know. I would like to know more of what happened.
I need to know what happened when you called Graham and you told him what it was. And listen, I got this secret on you. So either you give her what she wants or the secret's coming out. I love that the secret came out, by the way, which we'll cover in a minute.
Tell him.
So it's so terrible. Essentially, we find this out in the book already. But, you know, of course, she's trying to keep it a secret because she's protecting him. But we found out that when he was in high school, he ended up killing a little girl. He, like, hit her with his car. And
he had like just gotten his license.
He had just gotten his license.
16, 17.
Yeah, he was like, 16 or 17. And she was holding on to the secret. And even Emily was like, I know you got something on him. I can tell it's in your face. And then at the end of this story, this bizarre thing with her trying to get her life back, she turns on the news and finds out that the secret had gotten out.
Yep. Ay.
I know. And just like, I had been waiting for it because I'm like,
a little bit too.
Yeah. I was like, listen, like,
part of me wondered if Emily was like going to use it once Catalina had told her, like, regardless.
Yeah. But I think she was, because she knew that, because she had that secret, she knew that she needed to use that to get the power back over to Catalina, for sure. Mm-hmm. So for the fact that it came out anyway, and you know that it was Miranda that did it, because Miranda doesn't give two flocks of a bird about anybody.
Okay, no, but listen, while Miranda Priestley still has her edge, this was something that I appreciated. She had some mad respect for Emily.
She did.
And that respect for Emily was pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Like florals in spring.
Oh my gosh.
Groundbreaking. Are we going to watch the movie now? Do we just?
Yes. I'm gonna have Jay sit down with me and watch it. He's gonna be here.
I don't even know if Marco's seen it, honestly. I feel like he probably has. He likes Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, anyway. Well, you're gonna have to sit down and to bring them together to watch it.
So let's get into a little bit more of Emily and Miriam for a second then too, because like we said, listeners, it's three points of view. Emily becoming a mom. Can we talk about it for a second?
I know. Okay.
Feelings.
I thought it was hilarious because she was just thinking that, you know, she had a feeling that she was pregnant, but she just ignored the feeling and she kept drinking, which was so funny. But I'm not mad at it because I feel like, even though she went on this whole thing about not wanting the kids right now or, you know, whatever they had planned, it actually turned out pretty good for her. And I don't know why, but I was thinking that her husband, Miles.
Yes.
Was that his name? Yes. I don't know why I was thinking he was going to just be like, oh, you're pregnant. Okay, bye. And he was going to just leave her to herself. But I was so glad to like find out that he actually is that loving husband that he's like built that character on during the whole book. And he's like so excited. He's all for this. And he's like, yes, like let's have the baby. And the way that they were describing how huge she was, I can relate on so many levels.
We're not huge, don't
like, when she was like, I feel like a whale, I was like, yeah, same, just but give me my burger or else I'm gonna, you know, murder someone. But you know, it's
oh, fine. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And then what about Miriam and Paul?
I
her husband Paul.
Oh my gosh. I feel like women can so relate because she is a mom. She's gained weight and she's not working now. And so her, you know, Paul got like this really good job and he's doing all these things. And she's like, oh, he's cheating. I know he's cheating on me. And she's going through like this whole thing, like the entire book of like,
well, it's surrounding her.
Yes.
It's surrounding her. That's
it
the
is. It, yeah, exactly. So that didn't help anything at all. And I just like, I feel like that is so common, especially when you have a baby and you kind of do go through a bit of like a roommate stage where you're just not in touch all the way because you're raising a little human, you know, over here, and you only get so much time with your significant other to build that relationship back up. You know, you're not just parents, you're partners too. So it can be a little tricky. So like definitely that whole factor of like, okay, why is he not here? Why is he not answering me? And you go through all these millions of questions in your mind, like, okay, he must be doing something. And then it turns out he was doing something, but it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. And it was like, see, I know. And it was just like, because she, like the way that she wrote this book too, she had me convinced. I'm like, oh yeah, he's cheating. Like he's being a story we
I was kind of convinced for a hot second too.
Yeah.
The new car, the eating healthier, the disinterest in sex with his wife, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And hashtag justice for Paul. Like he tried really hard, you know, reassuring her and like letting her know even when she would ask him about it. There was that one part where I think she like asked him about it and he said, I think we are two tired married people with three kids under five, like because they have twins and then they have their 5 or 6 year old, I can't remember, but it just oh my goodness. That was, oh my gosh. No, and it was very, very sweet. So listener, like what he ends up doing, he gifts Miriam this little like office space essentially downtown where she can go into practice by herself. She can go into practice law by herself locally if she decides to. And, you know, he goes on this spiel about how, you know, I know you've been unhappy with the decision to stay at home and I want you to have the option to like work part-time or have the space to get away, whatever it is that you would like to do. You know, this is now your space to be able to do it. And oh, I thought it was very, very sweet. I thought it was
I loved it. I have a cool vision of like what that little office looked like too. And I'm like, oh, that's just so nice.
Right. That's super cute.
Thank you.
As I will say, as someone that is still kind of newly married, right? But also at the same time, I struggle with a lot of those insecurities and a lot of those same fears that Miriam had. Like, it's real and it's valid. It's really hard to tell your partner, to tell your significant other, like, hey, you can be doing all these wonderful things in the world. And sometimes that is not going to go away.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know if it's that way sometimes as a parent too.
Oh, it is.
You are like, I'm just doing the best that I can here. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, my son, my daughter, like, cannot give me the reassurance that, like, they can give it to me to a degree, right? Mm-hmm. They can give it to me to an extent, mm-hmm. but not completely. I don't know.
So. Yeah, no, I definitely hear you on that, because I feel like what everyday, like, married couples who don't have kids and they're like trying to get their partner to reassure them, like, everything's okay, like, we're fine and nothing's going on, you're not doing anything behind my back. I feel like as a mom and as someone who is guilty of doing this, I do this with my son. I do this with Leland, because we have a great relationship.
My dog eating in the background. I apologize.
It's okay. But I feel like we have a good relationship. His dad has him full time. I just get him a couple of days for the weekend. But I feel like I find myself sometimes treating it like a relationship. Like, are we okay? Are we good? Do you love me? Like, hold me and hug me and tell me that you love me, because I feel like I'm not doing enough for my son because I don't get to see him every day. So because I don't get that reassurance, I feel like sometimes I have to get it out of him. And most of the time he's like, Mom, you're crazy. You know, I love you. Like, I want to come live with you. And I'm like, yes, of course. At some point we'll get there, but it's just a habit. Yeah. It's just a habit that you get into, and it'll grow out, I'm sure, at some point. But yeah, it's just something where I feel like I'm not alone in that. And even like you said, as, you know, just as being a married woman too, yeah, it's just like that reassurance just needs to be made for some reason. And it's, I don't know, it just never goes away.
No.
It's kind of odd. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, and listener, I guess to kind of wrap this up too, bringing it back to Catalina, she does end up getting custody of Harry, mm-hmm. actually. And she ends up deciding to stay in Greenwich.
Yep.
Miles and Emily, at the ending of the book, they come back from LA to New York. So now they're living in New York. And yeah, Miriam working full time, part time, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, I think it was part time. I don't remember.
Which I thought the ending was great. I thought it was really, really cool. Oh! And then Catalina goes to work for Miranda.
Oh, yeah, because Miranda just pops up to the baby shower, and she's like she was basically like firing Emily, but also not firing her, but giving her jump.
She literally was like, we both know that you weren't going to come back once you had this baby.
Yeah.
Well, stop lying to me.
Yeah, don't lie to me. It's okay. But I'm just glad that it ended up working out for everybody. You know, Miriam and her marriage and her office and her work is great. Emily having her baby and Miles, and just their love was great. And then Catalina with, you know, having Harry, and just, it just all worked out so beautifully at the end. When the beginning in this book, I was ready to shred it into 1,000 pieces because I was so angry. And it was just a very happy ending, and I loved it.
You didn't tell me that. I mean, I guess throwing the book is pretty intense. So so would shredding the book be. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Film, TV, movie segment. If this were to come to visual arena.
Yes.
There can be no one other than Emily Blunt. I'm pretty sure we're agreeing.
Absolutely.
We're
agreeing on that. Yes.
100%.
1,000%.
You had some good suggestions written on here. So let's enter into this segment. Okay. Who do you see playing these main characters?
Okay. So, like we said, Emily Blunt, of course, like, duh. She's the only one that makes sense. For some reason, I was picturing Miriam as, like, Jill Scott.
You were literally thinking of Why Did I Get Married?
Literally in my head. I was literally thinking that. I was like, what actress is in my brain? Because I was thinking about it the whole time when she was just kind of describing her curves and everything. And I was like, what is that actress? And I, for the life of me, she's also a singer, by the way. Amazing.
Oh, so talented.
I love her. That. And then I was like, she was in that. And I was like, yes, Jill Scott. Because I don't know why. I haven't really thought of, like, what actor. But I could just see Paul being, like, some skinny, like, white guy. I can't think of any actors right off the top of my head. But I don't know why. But it just made, like, they were a blended family. Like, her kids were mixed. I don't know why I had that thought in my head. But I just thought that was, like, super cute. Cool. And then for Carolina, I was, like, thinking of Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that woman is so beautiful.
I know. Like, she could totally play Victoria's Secret model, whatever. Like, so those are my thoughts. I thought that would have been a very, you know, because it just, I don't know, it made sense to me anyway.
Honestly, Jennifer Lawrence or Katherine Heigl kind of made sense to me for Catalina.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
Jennifer Lawrence, come on.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then for Miriam, no. Also, you know who I thought of for Catalina was Brie Larson.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Brie Larson or Leslie Mann for Miriam is what I had written down. Or even like Drew Barrymore.
Huh.
I know.
Interesting. I feel like we need to do like a side by side and be like, yeah, this might work.
I know. But I was thinking of that movie with Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann as well, the other woman.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where my mind was going, like something along the lines of like Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann as mm-hmm. well, for sure. I don't know.
I like those though. Those are good.
Those were some good. I didn't have any for the guys. I didn't.
I couldn't think of any either for the guys. Like, yeah.
I know. Wait a second. Oh my gosh. You're not watching Yellowstone at all, are you?
I haven't in a minute. But
Jamie.
Yes!
For Graham Hartwell?
Yes.
Uh-huh. The same one that played Seneca Crane in Hunger Games. Oh my gosh. Hold up. Hold the phone. What's his name?
Holding phone. She's literally holding a phone. She's looking it up right now, guys.
No, but for Paul or Miles. I don't know either.
Cause like for some reason when I pictured Miles, I thought of like surfer guy with blonde hair. I don't know why, but that was just in my brain.
Like Liam Hemsworth or like Chris Hemsworth.
I can't see Thor. We'll get
Wes Bentley is his name.
Yes.
For Graham Hartwell. I mean, come on, that's pretty good.
That is good. Yes.
I like Liam for Miles. I like that there. I agree. Oh my gosh. But Paul?
I don't know. I just think for some reason when I was picturing Paul, I thought like, who's tall? Not too skinty, but skinty enough, white, nerdish actors out there. Or who has played...
I know. We'll have to think on this one. You know what? We'll take it to the listeners. We'll take it to you. Yes. You let us know your thoughts on this segment because we would be so just tickled pink to hear. your thoughts on this. Oh my goodness. Well, this has been a delight.
It's been great.
I'm so, so glad that we read this book. I thought it was great.
So glad that we chose this book, and I'm so glad that we decided to do these lemon drop martinis, because I'm about to have me another one once we're done here, because these are so good. Go. They're simple. They're delicious.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, listeners, please, please, please rate, review, subscribe. We love hearing from you. Oh my gosh. Shout out and thank you to everyone who voted for the month of August listener pick.
Yes.
Like to give us a drum roll while we announce our book for August.
I don't know if you can hear that.
I know. We are going to be reading Happy Place by Emily Henry. Oh my gosh. I am digging this book. It's pretty good.
I'm a little more behind than you because I just got done reading Meet Me at the Lake.
That's okay.
Side note, amazing book. Listeners, Meet Me at the Lake is fabulous, fantastic. I loved it. Anyway, just started diving into Happy Place. I think I'm like 20 pages in and I'm already hooked. I love it. So
super, super excited. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So yes, we will be covering that in August. And Abigail is still planning, as far as I know, to be with us, provided everything goes according to plan. But oh my gosh, this was so fun.
It was.
We'll let you go make another lemon drop martini.
Yes.
Until then, our lovely listeners, stay reading.
Stay classy.
And stay drinking. Have a good night. Love you.
Love you.